Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Ayin Beis, the 72nd Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. And this is it, folks. We have reached a huge milestone. This is the end of the second Book of Tehillim. And in fact, we're almost at the middle of the whole Book of Tehillim itself, because Tehillim is comprised of 150 Psalms, and this is number 72. So we really are coming close towards the end of this enterprise, towards the middle of this enterprise, which is a huge achievement. And we're closing book two today. Take an extra muffin, take a special drink today as a siyum of getting so far. Let's take a look at this mizmor. This mizmor is about a prayer for the King of Israel. In overview and structure, it is made up of 20 psukim and is divided into four basic sections. Section one is psukim aleph to zion, 1 to 7, which talks about the righteousness of the king. The next section, ches to yud aleph, 8 to 11, talks about the greatness of the king. The third section, 12 to 15, which is Yud Beis to Tes Vav, is the king's helping those who are impoverished or in need. And finally, Tes Zion to Yud Tes, 16 to 19, is the blessing of Hashem through the king. And the concluding pasuk is the conclusion of the Book of Tehillim, Kalu Tfilos David Ben Yishai, finishing or concluding the Tfilos, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse. Let's take a look at the central themes. It starts off as this mizmor in general is a prayer on behalf of the king. One of the primary functions of the Israelite king is to judge the people, tzedek, to judge them righteously. And that's why it is called, that's why there's many invocations. There are many requests to be a shofet tzedek, to be a righteous judge. And when he does such a thing, that is going to be performing his role properly. So yodin amincha betzedek, vaniecha v'mishpat. To judge your people in righteousness and those who are poor with justice, not favoring those who have more power, who could help help your next election campaign, really trying to do it in a just way. And the more the king will succeed in this, the more he will bring peace and prosperity to the people. That's why it follows, Yisu harim shalom la'am u'gvo'es bitzdakah. When there is justice, there will be peace among the nation, which is counterintuitive. Many people think, if I, you know, cut a corner here, if I overlook that, if I slide that under the carpet, then it will I'll come out ahead. And what the mizmor is saying is if you do it right, that's when you come out ahead. That's when you bring peace. Now, in the next section, then goes on to say, and it makes it clear, it's not because the king instills fear. Well, actually, before this, the next section describes how the king will become a international leader. People will come to him to pay homage. And it goes, Lefanov yichru'u tziyim v'oivov afor yelachechu. All the enemies will be, you know, licking the dust. And all these other people will come in to pay homage to the king. But it's not because he succeeded in instilling fear and is a fearsome king, but rather because he is a generous, he's a just king. As the next and the third section talks about, Ki yatzil evyon mishavea v'ani v'eino ezeloi. He helps those in need. And that's what, it is something which generates respect because of his actions, not because of the fear he demands from other people. And finally, because he is such a magnificent figure, he is such a figurehead and representation of God, therefore, Yehi Shemoi Lo'olam Yifnifnei Shemesh, Yinon, Shemoi V'Yisparchu Bo, Kol Goyim Yashruhu, all the nations are going to be praising him, but it's not just because of him, but it's Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Elokim, Elokei Yisrael, Asod Niflo Esdav Adoi, it is now a blessing Hashem, who does the miracles for the nation of Israel. So when he does his job right, he is ultimately a great representation. He is the appropriate representation of the Almighty himself, which is what a king is supposed to be doing. Of course, we note at this point that this is the closing of the second book of Tehillim, and it is worthwhile thinking about, as Rav Amos Chacham points out, that the first two Mizmore Tehillim in the first book, Aleph and Beis, in the whole of the book of Tehillim, which really are, according to many Mephoshim, the same Mizmor, are talking about a person who does justice and receiving the divine reward, and the king being successful. And it's interesting that the theme of this mizmor seems very similar to that. It's almost as if book one and book two are starting and closing on the same general bookend and theme, just in terms of superstructure. Events behind this mizmor. So our koteves, our introduction, does tell us that this is Lishlomo Elokim Mishpotecha LeMelech Tein. This is to Solomon, to Shlomo, to God should give your mishpatecha, your judgment, your justice, to a king, uvitzikosecha leven melech, and your righteousness to the son of a king. So what does this mean? One option in the Mevarshim is that this is composed by Shlomo, meaning to say, this was what Shlomo Melech wrote, similarly like Mizmor Kuf Chav Zion, Shir Malas Lishlomo. There is another, the other only other Mizmor in Tehillim, which is to Shlomo, by Shlomo. And it is likely that Shlomo composed this before he began his rule, a role as the leader of Israel. And it is a prayer that he should be able to take this on properly. He should be able to be a Shofet Tzedek. He should really be this righteous judge. It is interesting that if you look into a Perek Gimel of Melachim Aleph, where Shlomo is just ascending the throne, he actually has a dream, and in the dream he has a prayer in which he asks Hashem to do the right thing. He asks Hashem for a Lev Shomea, for a hearing heart. And if you read through those words, there are many word parallels, idea parallels to this Mizmor Tehillim, which make a lot of sense. So for instance, in Pasuk Vav, in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Gimel, David Avi Chesed Gadol, Kasher Holach Lefonecha Be'emes Vitzdakov Uviyishras Levav Levav Amecha. So David, my father, went in front of you in this great amount of tzedek, emes and tzedek, in truth and righteousness and straightness of heart, and he did everything you wanted up till now. And Hashem, I am so small. Please allow me to do similar. Give me a hearing heart to judge your people. Sounds very much like the requests of this mizmor, which make a lot of sense. And therefore, this would be following through that similar theme. Another option is that this was not composed by Shlomo, but rather was composed for Shlomo. The Malbim suggests this. The Malbim says that that David HaMelech was the one who actually wrote this on behalf of Shlomo as almost sort of a last will and testament, his dreams, a letter to his son about what his son should actually express. It is very likely that this was actually written towards the end of David HaMelech's life, when Shlomo HaMelech's legacy was contested by another older son or half-brother of Shlomo, whose name was Adoniah. Adoniah tried to take control of the throne unbeknownst to David, and the first perek of Melachim Aleph deals with how David HaMelech is convinced by Bathsheba and the Navi himself as they come in front of him to try to protest and clarify where the legacy will be going. It's at the end of that perek where Shlomo HaMelech is crowned and coronated, and it is likely, as it says over there, they notice that Shlomo is sitting on the throne, on the king's throne, and it's at that point perhaps that maybe David HaMelech composed this as his perspective and as his hope of Shlomo HaMelech as he's about to speak to him on his deathbed at this point in time in Tanakh. It is also interesting that there's another option over here, and that the Radak points out that if you look at all the prophecies or all the descriptions over here of what a king does, not all of them were actually fulfilled in the lifetime of Shlomo HaMelech, which leads some of the Mefarshim to suggest, he brings it as a Yesh Mefarshim, there are those who suggest this refers to the Melech HaMashiach, it refers to the idealistic king at the end of time, who we've not seen yet. No king has had all of these blessings. So perhaps this is what it's referring to, and this is a hope for the ultimate longer-term future. Shlomo HaMelech may have had some of this, but certainly not all of it. In terms of the places in our tefillah that this appears, Psukim Yud Ches and Yud Tes 18 and 19 are said in our Psukim de Zimra. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asoni Flo Es Levadoi, Uvaruch Shem Kvodoi Lelom V'Yumalei Chvodoi Es Kol Ha'aretz, Amen V'Amen, which delineates two separate sections in our Psukim de Zimra. It is also sometimes said at the end of completing of one's daily quota of Tehillim. For those who say Tehillim on a daily basis, this is one of the capstone moments where we bless Hashem, closing the saying of Tehillim, like this closes the second book of Tehillim. In terms of psukim and words in the spotlight, very fascinating if you take a look at Pasuk Hey, Yirei Ucho Im Shamesh, you should be seen with the sun. What is this referred to over here? So I apologize, the actual translation is, let them fear you from when the sun shines. Yirei Ucho is not to be seen, but rather to be, let them fear you. What is this referring to? So the Gemara describes this, and the Rambam quotes in Halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this in Halacha, in Siman Pei Tes, in Orach Chaim. That, and in fact, this tells us that the best and ultimate time to daven Shmona Esrei, the Amida, not Kriya Shema, not to Barah Birkas HaShachar, but the Amida itself, is when it is Netzach Hama, which is the moment the sun is rising, and that's what we call Tfilas Vasikyan. When a person davens the Shmona Esrei just as the sun is rising, that's a changing goal every day. It would be based on this pasuk over here of Yirei Ucho Im Shemesh, that they should fear you when the sun rises. Last pasuk to focus on is the last pasuk of this section, which is pasuk Chav, which is very simple on one hand, but on the other hand, very complex and perplexing. Kalu Tefilos David Ben Yishai, says the last pasuk over here. These are the end of the Tefilos, of the prayers of David, the son of Jesse. First of all, a couple things just to notice. Number one is that we're describing Tehillim as Tefilos, as prayers. This is actually a debate, whether it's all prophecies or it's all prayers or a mixture of the two. This seems to suggest that all of them are tefillos, are prayers. Number two, it also suggests that most of them were from David, because it says tefillos David ben Yishai. The Gemara in Psachim actually points out that it says kolatish barchos amuras b'sefer tehillim kulon David Amran. All the praises are said by David, which is fascinating because the Gemara in Baba Basra, when describing the authorship of the Svarim, clearly indicates that there are another nine authors at the very least of Tehillim. So maybe it could be that because the first two books of Tehillim, which we're finishing now, are a vast majority have in their introduction, Le David, maybe it means to say that this section was almost totally, unadulteratedly David, but later on we're going to see other Mefarshim, or other authors or other editors, but be it as it may, this is something to take into consideration. The one thing which is confusing is why now? Why is David HaMelech saying this at this point in time? The Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who was his colleague, and some traditions have it that Ibn Ezra married the daughter of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. Be it as it may, the Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who says, "Vavushu sofa sefer kosav kol ha-sofer kein ha-sofer rishon." So because this is the end of this book, that's why it's written here, Kasher nichtov anachnu, Baruch Nosein LaYoev Koach. Like when we write books, we write at the end of that book, Baruch Nosein LaYoev Koach, blessed is he who gives the person who is tied strength, indicating our appreciation of Hashem, allowing us to fulfill this project. So too, in this way, David HaMelech is writing this at the end of this book. But it isn't necessarily an indicator about his life. However, it does sound like it's a little more heavier than that. It does sound pretty final. So it could be that he wrote this this mizmor towards the end of his life. This was maybe the last thing he gave as his tzavah, his will to Shlomo HaMelech, his son, as he's on his deathbed. And it was in fact the last mizmor he wrote. So if that's true, why is it put two-thirds of the way through Tehillim in terms of books? So Radak says maybe because we want to end Tehillim on a high. This is a very somber, this is a very strong charge. So maybe we want to end on a higher note, so it's put over here where In a section which is more related to its theme, then the end of the Tehillim, the fifth book, is very much elation, very much praise, very much esoteric. There is one last understanding over here, and that's Rav Hirsch, who says that every tefillah, what does it mean, kalu? It doesn't mean to say that this is the end of all David HaMelech's prayers. It means kalu. They have finished their goal. They have reached where they should have. They have attained their purpose. What this mizmor, what this is saying over here is almost either a description or a prescription or a supplication. Let all these tefillahs, let all these prayers meet their mark. And that is kalu tefillahs David Ben Yishai. A prayer that should be true of all of us as we continue to learn, as we continue to appreciate Tehillim. In the meantime, Mazel Tov for finishing the second book, and have a wonderful and meaningful day.